So this is the beginning of the retreat, just taking the 8 precepts. There's a very beautiful passage in the sutta where the Buddha talks about these 8 precepts and points out how it's the foundation for the practice of anyone who's attained liberation. It's an ancient tradition in India to keep these 8 precepts for the lunar days, four times a month, for those who follow those practices of kind of keeping 8 precepts for one day a week. And it's very beautiful that the Buddha points that out, because for those of you, I think most of you or everyone here who's done retreats, a number of retreats, you know how we take these precepts at the beginning of a retreat, and it can seem like a formality, just a ceremony we do at the beginning of the retreat. But actually, it's a very powerful thing. We're laying the foundation in terms of the kamma we're making. We're laying the foundation for opening the path to liberation. And also, they're very good tools for reflection. Precepts, whether it's 5 precepts, 8 precepts, or 10, or 227, 330 something, or doesn't matter the number, they're all based on the 5 precepts. And they're guidelines for how to behave and how to speak, guidelines for actions and speech. And they're very good to reflect upon. They're not commandments. They're precepts. It's something we take on voluntarily as a marker. We determine to try to train ourselves according to these principles. And as such, there's an allowance for mistakes. So it's not that we go to hell if we break precepts. But they're good to reflect upon, because in the course of our life, we are constantly running into situations where the natural reaction that arises sometimes in the mind would be to do something that goes beyond the boundaries of these guidelines, of these precepts. And what the Buddha is giving us is a tool to reflect on and to notice how, if we keep our behavior and our speech within the boundaries of these precepts, we're not causing harm to anyone. We're not causing harm to ourselves, and we're giving ourselves the gift of freedom from remorse, the remorse that comes from when we do behave or speak in ways that go beyond the boundaries of these precepts. So to use that to reflect on our daily lives. So here the context is a retreat. So there's living in a monastery and living on retreat, meditating, listening to Dhamma. There's usually not that much stimulation that causes us to break the precepts. The whole context is arranged in such a way as to make it easy to keep them. Refraining from killing. So in the monasteries, most likely the threat will come from mosquitoes that we want to slap away, so we refrain from doing that. We just brush them away. We don't take what's not given, so respect other people's property. And if someone leaves something valuable lying around, we can always put it aside for safekeeping, but we don't take things that are not given. And it makes other people feel safe. It makes us feel safe. If we leave something valuable around, we know it's not going to vanish. We can find it again later. A brahmacharya, we abstain from any type of sexual activity. Give ourselves a break from that kind of stimulation. It's peaceful. On retreat, musawada is usually easy to keep, because you're encouraged to keep noble silence. So if we're not speaking, then we don't say the wrong things. So that's an easy one. And I'd encourage everyone to try to keep that one, because that's the one that's the easiest to break. And if we came with someone, with a friend, with someone who's close to us, it's easy to kind of go to the side and start chit-chatting in low voices, or we can, if necessary, of course, use speech in certain circumstances. But generally, if you try to keep noble silence and just hold back the urge to spill into speech, you'll find that you actually benefit from it. It's a little bit like closing the valves on a dam. Then you'll find at the beginning it's holding back the waters, but then you find also something's accumulating inside. So when we don't spill into speech, as soon as something goes through our minds, we hold it, and then little by little you find something settling down inside, and the accumulation of silence is something you can actually start appreciating. And the silence carries you, and if we tend to spill into speech, then we disrupt that and we lose out. So I encourage you all to try to keep noble silence as much as you can, for your own benefit and for the benefit of our neighbors on the retreat. And then the fifth precept, abstaining from alcohol and intoxicating substances, shouldn't be too difficult to keep. We're cultivating mindfulness, awareness rather than heedlessness, and we're seeking to cultivate clear understanding rather than the confusion that comes from consuming these substances. And then I think some very nice, nutritious, and tasty food will be arranged for you. And we usually consume our food between sunrise and midday, so that'll generally be 1 o'clock during this period of the year. And then in the afternoon we refrain from eating, so we may feel hungry, but it's usually nothing we cannot endure. Feelings of hunger come and go, and usually at tea time something is provided to help with that. Give a bit of energy for the evening. Some drinks with sugar and honey, and sometimes some chocolate, dark chocolate or some cheese or such things. And the seventh precept about refraining from adornments. Try to avoid indulging and beautifying the body. So we're trying to turn the attention inwards, away from the body towards sensations in the body rather than its appearance. Turning attention to the mind, states of mind, and the silence inside. So if we don't spend time on the appearance of the body and we just do what needs to be done so that it's clothed properly and it's fed and it's given something to drink, it gets rest, it gets cleaned, it gets rested, then the basic comforts of this body are taken care of, and we can sit here together and start relaxing and watching the body and mind. And then the eighth precept is one connected to this developing of wakefulness, this developing of awareness. So our beds are comfortable enough. They're not high and luxurious, but they're good enough to rest for the night, maybe for a bit during the day after the meal. But we're not indulging in something that'll tempt us to just stay in bed longer than we need to.